Well, hello everybody and welcome. Welcome to another Words, Women and Wisdom radio show, streaming me personally from Calgary, Alberta at the base of the Rocky Mountains. Nice sunny day today. And I'm joined by a guest who I just met recently with a really intriguing background. So, hello, Carly Myers. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm good. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Lovely. And where are you dialing in from for the listeners?
I am in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in the US.
All right. So we have an international show because this is streaming out of BBS Radio and they're down near Dallas in Texas. So we're international all by ourselves. Now, if you haven't listened to the Words, Women, and Wisdom radio show before, just a little bit of background. It's really about sharing stories from women who have risen from tragedy to triumph and are now out in the world doing really interesting work. Sometimes it's in their local community, sometimes it is on a global scale, but the theme is really intended to help women, especially if you're going through something right now. Just know that there are other women who've been there and done it and climbed out of this whatever it is scenario. And gone on to do incredible work, who've really tapped into what their soul was calling them forwards to do in many cases. And the stories are always interesting. I always interview women, and there's usually some sort of free gift. So you want to stick around for the show. The show will go for an hour. You want to stick around till the end because you don't want to miss anything. Grab your pen and paper because there's going to always be wisdom nuggets and notes that you want to take. And I'm pleased to formally introduce a little bit more about Carly. So Carly Myers is that Carlee, which is an interesting spelling, is a leading stress management expert and founder. So she's going to talk about her organization. She's leveraging her credentials as a certified Safe Conversations leader. Also, some other combinations of credentials, which I'll let her share. But she's really focusing on using her personal gifts and her wisdom, not just to manage stress, but to thrive. I mean, listeners in the audience, who out there has never had stress in their life? Like, there's so many opportunities in the world that very often create stressful situations, and it takes a toll on our body. So, her clients experience the domino effect of improved sleep, increased productivity, they get more fulfilling lives. And during this work, she's been featured in a number of prominent media outlets, so Fox 29, Parade, etc. And she's really in the business of relationships. So that's what our focus is for today. So nurturing not just any relationship, but nurturing healthy relationships. So let's dive in a little bit. So, Carly, how did you get started in this work? Was this something that was in your childhood that kind of led you to going down this path, or was it later in life? What's the story, girl?
Oh my gosh. Well, this is always the can of worms, right? There's always a reason why we're doing what we do. So I actually, when I was about 12 years old, a man was actually murdered in my home and my mom was shot three times. And while my mom ended up making like an absolutely miraculous recovery, I ended up struggling for a long time. I struggled with the symptoms of PTSD, with stress, with night terrors, jumpiness. I mean, you name it. I was probably struggling with it. And for a long time, I didn't tell anyone what was going on. I didn't want to be the straw that broke the camel's back. My family was going through a lot, to say the least. And so it took me quite a bit to open up and to express and to say, hey, I'm having a hard time. And that was an understatement, right? Hey, I'm feeling a little stressed. That was an understatement. But when I finally got the courage to speak up and to share, I had a really interesting experience. So on one side of the coin, those that responded to my share, it was like clockwork. I got the same advice over and over again. Hey, have you tried therapy? Have you tried yoga? Have you tried meditation, changing your diet, going to the gym? And while those things were helpful for me, they actually did improve my quality of life. They weren't they weren't getting me to the place where I knew was possible. They weren't getting me where exactly I wanted to go. And so I had this low-grade misery, if you will, just from that perspective of like, hey, I'm struggling. I've got this baseline of struggle. But also what I learned during this time in my life is that some people didn't have the capacity to receive me. Right. And so whether it was unsolicited advice, which by the way, unsolicited advice is criticism, whether it was minimizing the experience of, oh, come on, it's already been this amount of time. You shouldn't we be over this by now? Right. Whether it was sharing of their story in response to my story, right? There's so many reactions that could have been had. What I learned is that the people that really knew how to have a safe conversation, knew how to hold space, those people, they helped me heal tenfold. And the ones that didn't, now they were well-intentioned. They wanted to help me because they were giving advice. They wanted me to move on to a better life. They wanted the best for me. But those people, even well-intentioned, created more suffering. It was like a compound. It's compounding effect. Because not only was I suffering in and of myself, but when I came to someone else, I wasn't received, and that created more. And so, long story short, I luckily wasn't willing to accept that low-grade misery as my new normal, and I kept exploring. And I ended up with a beautiful toolkit of tools that really helped me experience that beautiful state of mind that I always knew was possible more often than not, right? Having access to that. And I ended up starting the Stress Less company. And later, that was really to help people manage their stress. And then later added this deep relational component because I realized just how key relationships are in our healing and success.
Well, definitely as women, we like to have empathy, and sometimes we can get into that situation of, oh, thank you for sharing about your whatever it is you're going through. And I had a similar experience, and then they go into that similar experience, and it almost minimizes. It's like, were you not listening, right? Because it sounds like you're trying to compete, and that's not necessarily helpful. And then the other thing about the unsolicited advice, I learned fairly early on as a, executive coach, that I'd naturally been doing a lot of this anyway, because I was in senior HR roles for 15 years in a lot of employee relations questions. But always tending to ask a question instead of just launching into telling. Because it's so much more powerful if someone is asking a question and then the other person is figuring out their own best solution. Because I don't know how fast you want to go, how risky is this, what the relationship with the other person is. So for me to be trying to diagnose and tell you something isn't going to help you. And then you're not committed to the answer anyway, because it wasn't your idea, right? So there's just, so many lose-lose situations that can come out of that versus this safe space. So how did it impact you going through like high school and your early career years? Were you launching the Stress Less company when you were like 18, 20, or did that come later?
Well, it's interesting. I actually, one of the first tools that I added to my toolkit was creativity, was art making. I found art to be incredibly cathartic. And so I actually ended up pursuing a career in the arts. I got my bachelor's degree in curatorial studies, which is a fancy way of saying museum studies, and fine art. In my 18-year-old mind, I was going to save the world with art, that was going to be the thing. And so I graduated with my degree, had a couple internships, a few jobs, and I realized that this was just one tiny tool, one tiny little piece of the puzzle. And so I worked in that space, and then I actually launched a workshop around that time in my early 20s after college. I was still working in the 9-to-5 world, called Feeling Salty. That got a lot of attention, a lot of press, and people were really enjoying it. And it was, for context, I made art with wood, salt, water, kind of alternative materials. So that was my
Oh,
artistic
okay. I
practice.
was like feeling salty. Okay. That's
Yeah.
interesting. How did that come about?
Yeah. So my artistic practice was really always was always using natural materials. And then there was this kind of natural progression into teaching people how to use salt, moving their hands in a body of salt, as a mindfulness practice. So I ended up teaching these workshops where people where I'd have teach people how to mindfully move their hands and be really present with a box of salt, of all things. And that was really like I would have them draw images in the salt. I'd have them just move their hands, feel the texture, feel the moisture or lack thereof, like really connect into the present moment.
Right.
And this workshop, like I said, it took off. Philadelphia loved it. I ended up traveling a bit actually to do this workshop up and down the East Coast of the US. And I had rave reviews, you know, oh, I've never, I feel so at peace. I feel so much better. I feel like this sense of calm that I haven't felt in so long. It's this workshop so cathartic, all of these really great reviews. And yet there was an acknowledgement that this was not a practice that was that there was a striving or a desire for something deeper, for something more, for
Right.
something lasting. And so that was my sort of my clue in that art maybe isn't the only thing that can save the world, and maybe we should be adding some more tools to the tool belt.
Well, I love what you're sharing because I had actually interviewed an expert probably about 6 months ago, and she was talking about bringing different tactile. Bringing a piece of cloth and really feeling into the texture of the cloth and, looking at the color and really, observing using the observer effect. And so, the fact with the salt, I mean, I don't watch a whole lot of TV, but I do love things like America's Got Talent, where people are bringing their talent and they're so committed and they're wanting to win so badly. And I love stories that go from tragedy to triumph, where people win. And there was a beautiful one that was on just recently where this girl was I don't think it was salt, but she was doing an art piece with sand. And so the camera was looking up underneath at the picture she was making, and just a few squiggles, and hand movements could make this amazing picture and a beautiful story unfolded. So it does distract the mind for a while, and it does add extra elements in when there is that tactile element to it. And I definitely feel into what you're saying about people wanting more and something deeper because that's a very solo activity. And if we're talking about healing, especially relationships, if something was, the feeling of being done to us, right? I mean, you didn't have control over somebody coming in and using a firearm in your home, right? It was something done to you. And how we choose to respond to that could go in a number of different directions, depending on, whether we're a shy person or whether we're gonna, try and grab the gun and fight the person off or run in the closet. I mean, different things could happen. So you led the workshops, and then what happened next?
Yeah, well, that's things slowly started shifting. I started to incorporate some of the tools that I had learned and had put in my own toolbox to create that sense of the sense of contentment, the sense of silliness, the sense of that whatever that beautiful state of mind that I was looking for. And yeah, up until that point, I was like, I'm an artist. I'm an artist. I'm just doing artsy things. I'm an artist. And this is when I started to take my work more seriously and say, no, actually, this is much bigger. This is a much bigger picture. This is, you know, these are people like me who are struggling with one thing or another. Whether, you know, stress is the common denominator, but what the thing is, it depends. And so I started helping people work through their stressors and really get a better grasp of how they could actually move through them. So I actually ended up developing something called the Stress Less Method. It's a three-step, really powerful methodology that helps people really, like I said, uncover how to have that beautiful state of mind, how to let go of stress as much as they can. So to kind of clue you in, the first step is to actually disengage from stress. And so in that way, the feeling salty workshops were phenomenal because they gave us a chance to disengage for a moment. And this is really, really important work because the thing that sets us apart as humans is this upper part of the brain called the prefrontal cortex. This is the part of the brain that helps us make decisions, access memories. It separates us from the rest of the animal kingdom. And so the thing about the prefrontal cortex, though, is that it's incredibly sensitive to stress. And so even the smallest stressor for some can shut that right offline. And then what goes online is this lower part of the brain, sometimes nicknamed the reptilian brain, where we're in fight, flight, freeze, or faint. We're reacting. We're not responding. We're reacting. We're in survival mode, and we're not necessarily making our most effective decisions. So first step is to disengage from stress so that we can get that prefrontal cortex back online so that we can make the decisions and take the actions that we deem most appropriate, the best actions possible. The second step is to identify our blocks. So once we have that prefrontal cortex online, we get to look at, okay, what are the ways in which I've been creating unnecessary stress or suffering for myself or for other people? And so we're looking at the unconscious or maybe even conscious coping mechanisms that we learned that served us at some point, but are no longer serving us. And the third step is to begin transforming our relationship with those blocks. Now, this is the one that I like to say, like folks always, they want it to be removed. Like, Carly, can't we just remove those blocks? And perhaps by the grace of God, we can. And I argue that these are coping mechanisms that we learn to survive. They are hardwired into our physiology, in some cases handed down from generation to generation. They're important. There's a reason that we learned these coping mechanisms so that when shit really, pardon my French, when stuff really hits the fan, we have that to lean on. And we want to transform our relationship with those blocks so they're not showing up when they're not necessary. When it's not a bear, it's not a tiger, it's not a dem extreme domestic violence case, it's an email. Right. And so we transform our relationships with our blocks so that we can create a different way of moving through the world that isn't self-sabotaging, that is creating more ease, more contentment, more connection.
So, is it more common for you to work with individuals or with corporations and do group trainings? Like, where's your happy spot?
So I do most of my work with individuals one-on-one, and every so often I will find my way into a corporate setting for a training.
So think about some of your, favorite clients. And I'm not saying that, there are any unfavorites, but favorite clients, what is it that they self-identify? Like, how do they know that they're even in stress? Because, I did an article many, many years ago, and it was based on some work with a couple of psychologists, and it was looking at burnout, right? And there was like 12 levels of burnout, or 12 signals that went, gradually from, I'm feeling anxiety, I'm feeling my blood rising, or I'm triggered by something, all the way through to, I'm using crutches and drugs and alcohol, et cetera. And it got gradually and gradually worse and more intense the more that it wasn't dealt with, right? So what would be some of the early symptoms that you would identify that people hadn't maybe thought about that they are actually more stressed than they realize?
Well, to answer that question, I would back up and I would define what stress is. And there's a lot of different definitions, and many of us assume that we're all on the same page, but Stress, the way that I look at it often, not always, but often, is it's when we feel like we don't have the resources to handle whatever's in front of us. We don't have the time, we don't have the money, we don't have the connections, we don't have the energy, we don't have whatever it is that it takes to handle whatever's in front of us. And so when we start to experience those inner voices, that's like, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I'm not sure. There's doubts. There's this push and pull. There's this back and forth. That's a beginning indicator that we're experiencing stress. Now, the level of the stress, really depends on something really important too, which is an equation that I reference a lot. And it's the stress equation, which is that stress equals the thing, whatever the thing is, plus our perception of the thing. And so a great example of this, I'll try to keep it brief for us, but is, I grew up in rural Maryland, and where I grew up, there was rivers and there were a lot of dammed rivers. So there were a lot of dams, like, I don't know, like six or seven, a ridiculous amount of dams in a small area. And I always growing up would hear stories because we live so close to these, that of people not realizing where they were in the water and going over the dam and being injured or drowning or dying. Like tragedies, tragic stories. And so I remember anytime kayaking or canoeing or doing anything in the river came up, I would be like, I don't know. I don't know. We got to plan this route. We've got to get everything in order. Like, because don't you know, a dam could pop up out of nowhere and like that, it'll be the end of days. Absolutely not. We are going to
Danger,
plan
danger.
accordingly. Yeah. And I remember a friend of mine wanting to just plop our kayaks in the river one day. And I went to my father and I was like, absolutely not. Like, isn't he crazy? This is insane. And my father's like, what do you mean? And I was like, what do you mean? What do I mean? He's like, well, you put your kayak in the river. If you go against the current, you'll never find yourself at the top of a dam. You'll only find yourself at the bottom. You go against the current and you float back home and you'll be fine. And I was like, whoosh, my brain just about exploded. But that is an example of stress, right? So for my father, kayaking wasn't stressful at all. For me, it was stressful. The only difference, the thing was the same. The only difference was our perception of the thing.
One of my mentors, Jennifer Huff, who I also interviewed a little while ago when her latest book was coming out, she said, it's not the thing, it's the thing once you make it's the thing once you give it meaning, right? You make it mean something. Yeah, absolutely. So stress being something where you don't have the resources or don't feel like you have the resources, so if you don't feel that you have the resources, how do you know who to reach out to? Like, how do you know if you're in that state, you don't feel like you've got the resources, like, then what?
So this is where we go back to that equation, right? We can really check, is this true? Do I truly not have the resources? And this is where it goes back to the stress-less method and the importance of working the stress-less method, because if our prefrontal cortex is offline or hindered in any capacity, we're not going to be able to answer that question. And so to disengage from stress means we can then look at that equation with clear perspective. And then we can say, okay, identify our blocks. What are the ways in which we're creating more suffering for ourselves? Unnecessary stress. And so when we find ourselves in that place, like I don't have the tools, I don't have the time, I don't have the energy, I don't know, I can't handle this. That's your indicator to do step one, disengage from stress so that you can get that process moving. And this is where, having a mentor or a coach, somebody to guide you, to someone that has a bird's eye view that is detached from your outcome, by the way, is going to be so useful, because I can speak from firsthand, it can be incredibly challenging to disengage and see from a bird's eye view.
So It's interesting. When I wrote my book, so whoops. For the listeners who haven't listened before, it's this one, Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. I talk about a few different methods. One of them is about responding versus reacting. And so even having like a glass of water, whenever you're in a meeting room and something might come up, just to take a sip of water. And just that one little thing gives you a few seconds of space to choose how you're going to respond. And it might be, a response that is being triggered by a question that just got fired at you that you were unexpected, that you weren't expecting, or an unexpected criticism, or like something that just came up in a public meeting, right? Where you're not just going to be able to walk out of the room and run and go stand on grass, right? Or sit there and let me just meditate for a moment, right? So there is actually some research that I talked about in the book, but just taking a few sips of water makes an interrupt that is very acceptable in a business setting to be able to create a little bit of space. And then if you already have three questions or three statements that you've already prepared when you're not in a stressful environment, when you're in a nice calm state,
When your prefrontal cortex is online.
exactly. And it could be something as simple as, that's an interesting point. I hear your passion around this. Let's book a follow-up meeting when I've had a chance to digest it, because I like to contribute something meaningful, and take it offline. Just book it. And don't try and, react in the moment or try to create a response or make something up. No, you're going to wreck your credibility and your confidence and other people's confidence in you if you just make stuff up, right? So it's about choosing how you respond and having some simple tools to be able to do that. The other thing is, I very often will use my pen, right? I learned this when I was doing coaching, because I came from a consulting industry where I'm used to being the one giving the advice and giving the answers. And then it was like, oh, this is refreshing. Now I don't have to be the expert, because I'm already used to asking great questions. I mean, I've interviewed and hired about 6,000 people, so the questions part was easy for me. But the difficult part was not saying anything, like holding the space and letting the silence do the heavy lifting. So my key was actually to put my pen on my lip. That was my reminder to myself, don't say anything and stop talking and let them talk. And again, it looks like I'm thinking, right? So again, it's something, what can you do, whether you're in a private space, a one-on-one conversation, a bigger meeting room, that creates that interrupt pattern so you don't have to look weird, but you still remain the calm one at the table. So engaging from stress. Do you have some tips or some secrets to share too? Because that's a good one.
Well, I think some of those examples that you just gave are beautiful examples of how to disengage from stress. They're the first step to you getting to the listeners getting their prefrontal cortex back online, acknowledging that we don't have to handle every situation in the moment, that taking a moment, setting an appointment for later is often the best thing we can do. We can set that appointment for later and then handle ourselves, get that stress level down, get that prefrontal cortex back online. I think disengaging from stress looks different for everyone. And there are a few tools that I absolutely love to use for myself. Very easy. Similarly, you can use this first one in a business setting, because it's discreet. So this is a moment where you feel the stress arise, the trigger happens, whatever, and you can reconnect yourself to the present moment by connecting into one of your five senses. So taste, smell, touch. I'm always missing one. Sight.
Sight.
And so becoming exquisitely aware of whether it's your fingertips rubbing together, your hand rubbing on your thigh, you're, I don't know if you're a woman, you've got a scrunchie or hair tie, how twisting that on your wrist, right? There's so many playing, fidgeting with your pen and being exquisitely aware of the ridges and the color and the, if you got it up to your lips, the smell of the eraser, right? Whatever those five senses are. And that is a really beautiful way for you to disengage from the stories that might be, the perceptions that might be happening in the mind that are making the wheel spin quicker.
Right.
So that's one really great way. Another way is what I would call and what I teach, which is emotional sobriety. And so this is where we actually use the foundations of safe conversations, which is actually a dialogue process between two people, but we actually use it with ourself and our inner voice, where we hear the thoughts, then we mirror them back to ourselves, we validate them, and we empathize with them. And what that can do is that can give them permission to move along rather than the spiral that we all know and love. So many of us know and love so well, so much.
What's the evidence of that? Or is that just me creating a story? Is that more of what it's about?
No, so what it really is about creating a safe space for yourself. Oftentimes our thoughts are persistent and nagging because we aren't giving ourselves the time and space and energy to acknowledge them to begin with. And so it's like I'm trying to think of an example. Maybe there you're in a meeting and there's someone that's really just getting under your skin, right? Maybe that recurring thought is like, oh, they're so annoying. Oh, they're so controlling. Oh, they're so annoying. And it's just controlling, annoying, controlling, annoying, controlling. And your mind might just be going, going, going. And it's because we're hearing it, but we're not letting it, we're not really hearing it, if that makes sense. And so if we use the emotional sobriety process, again, safe conversations apply to the self, then we're looking at, then we're saying in our mind's eye, so what I'm hearing myself say is that this person is really annoying me and that I think that they're controlling. And that makes sense. Then we go to validate. And that makes sense because they've taken over the entire meeting and no one else is speaking. Okay,
Right.
so that's validate and empathize. So we're empathizing with ourselves. It makes sense that I'm identifying my feelings at the moment. So this is empathy within the self. Okay, what am I feeling? I'm feeling frustrated. I'm feeling less than maybe. I'm feeling sad because maybe there's an underlying feelings there. And we can acknowledge, hey, that makes sense. Because, and we could go back and forth with validating and empathize back and forth, but you know, hey, that makes sense because your vo my voice isn't being heard.
Right.
And you know, what's really interesting about the emotional sobriety process is now we're acknowledging the thoughts. They're not going to keep spinning and distracting us from our meeting. But at the same time, just in taking that, going through those three steps, we are uncovering information that maybe we wouldn't have uncovered before. So in this example, well, that makes sense because it makes sense that you're frustrated and you're feeling sad because your voice isn't being heard.
Right.
That could be the indicator.
Yeah.
Oh, let me raise my hand. Let me
Right.
do what I can to respectfully have my voice heard.
Got it. So I love that. That makes sense then. Yes, got it.
Yeah.
So if you're taking notes here, audience, there's some great steps here that are being shared, some great questions and some things to really ask yourself because yeah, nothing has a meaning unless we give it a meaning. And very often we're looking through the lens of our own values, our own experiences. Something that happened last time and it could color how we're perceiving what's going on now. And very often I think, for myself, like I tend to notice things that other people are doing because I know that that's a trait that I'm working on myself. So I see it and it's like, uh-oh, that's interesting.
Whoopsies.
Yeah. And the only reason I see it is because it's on my awareness radar anyway, because it's something that I've chosen to work on, or I know someone else just last week responded or reacted to it in another fashion. And so, you know, I became more aware that, oh, when I say that, this is what it creates. So the power of words is all about, you know, part of the reason why I wrote my book, right? You talked about your parents growing up and the impact that that had, that one incident on your life. A little bit of background for, again, anyone who's listening or maybe in from your community that are dialing in to the show. I grew up in London, England. You can tell from my accent, wasn't born in Canada, with a mum who had been a professional businesswoman and then married my dad, who came back from World War II. He got a bullet in Dunkirk and it grazed him, and he came back with PTSD, and they just did not have the bandwidth to treat hundreds of thousands of men coming back from the war. And so he showed up as being a very angry man, and his words were like, they cut through. There was so much criticism. He had a blueprint style personality, which I later, when I started doing a lot of personality work, realized is a very structured, rigid, you know, high expectations, can't get things wrong, it's got to be right, it's got to follow the process, it's got to follow the steps, stay within the box, don't be creative, which was completely the opposite of my adventurous personality as an action-oriented kid. So constantly being in trouble. But the words that people use, whether it's in our own head, to get through a situation like this and identify, self-identify, you know, that makes sense because, and give yourself the evidence, or whether it's somebody else's words, words are so powerful. They are so powerful. You know, just one word can change your life.
Yeah, absolutely. And
it did. It changed my life when I was 11, because I got this big criticism about how I would never be successful in life, because, like, screamed at me because I flunked an exam by 2 marks. And I went into high school where I was barely talking. Like, my mom literally lost her voice. Like, she literally lost her voice because she could not, she was so diminished by his language and the power of his words. So really important to have these signs of stress and be aware of, you know, what simple steps you can do to respond to that and choose a different way and start looking at not just the disengaging piece, but identifying the blocks, as you say, your step two, sorry, you're identifying the blocks and then the transform the blocks piece. So share a little bit more about the third step. How do you transform the blocks?
Yeah. So it really depends on what the blocks are that we get the opportunity to transform them. But here's what I can say. Is that whatever that block is, it's not like, let me give you an analogy. It's not like that block is a rotten tooth that needs to be pulled out. It's not necessarily the case. It's not how it works with these types of self-sabotaging patterns.
Right.
Transforming our relationship with our blocks looks like, perhaps for the first time in our life, sending a little love and kindness, a little grace to that part of ourselves, and doing it often so that there's not resistance from the ego, from that part of ourselves, and there's space for a new pattern and a new way of being to emerge. The way that I look at it is that it's these blocks, they aren't who we are. It's just something we do every once in a while. We learn to do it. And just like we learn to do that, we can learn to do this. And so some examples might be, maybe we have a block that we tend to use victimizing ourselves as a way to receive love and attention. Right? In relationship, we'll go with the relationship theme here. Then we're victimizing ourselves. We're sharing the victim story so that we can get love and attention. That's what we really want. But the irony with that block is that it's doing the exact opposite, because, well, how many people want to hear someone complaining about how awful their life is over and over again? Right? And so if we can love the victim within us, as an example, the victim no longer becomes the victim. The victim is soothed. And we can then transform that relationship. So we've already transformed it by loving that part, but then we can also transform our behavior, which is understanding that there's a different way of connecting with other people that gets us the actual kind of love and attention that we really desire. Because most of us don't want a pity party. Most of us want connection because the other person wants to be connected to us. So that could be one example of a specific block that perhaps we would transform.
Yeah, excellent. So, very much about not excuse me, not giving the thing, the situation, the power. So when we observe it, and when we become aware of it, and when we turn and face it, it actually takes the power out of it, right?
Yeah.
So interesting. So if we don't, just to sort of loop back, if we don't deal with stress, ultimately there's an impact, right? There's an impact on our bodies. So do you want to talk a little bit about why it's so important to do this work?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, this will actually relate to the freebie you mentioned earlier, because it actually walks folks through all of the ways that stress shows up. And it's wild, to see where stress shows up and how it shows up. There's almost no part of the body or mind that stress doesn't impact,
Right.
especially if it's chronic. So we could start with, headaches, migraines, things like that, muscle tension. How many of us have had shoulder pain, back pain, the whole nine?
Right.
Stress affects our reproductive systems. It lowers men's sperm counts. It increases menopausal and menstrual pain for women. It causes issues with our bowels and digestion. So it's not flowing. It is flowing a little too much, right? Issues with our immune system. Right. So we're going to get sick quicker.
Right.
And if we do get sick, it's going to take us longer to recover. And that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
That's from a physiological standpoint. And two, from that perspective, stress can cause anxiety, depression, and a variety of other mental health concerns.
Yeah.
And so there's almost not a single place, that aspect of ourselves and our experience, that stress can't touch. And that's the power. But here's the thing, the piece of hope related to that, which is that it.
She bought a gift. There's
Yes.
hope.
Oh, yes. I did bring a gift. Okay. We'll do that. So, this gift actually ties into that piece of hope, which is that if we transform our perception of whatever that thing is that's on our mind, that thing that we feel like we don't have the bandwidth, the resources to handle, the stressor still might be there. But if we view it as good stress, all of those symptoms, it's wild, but their impact is almost non-existent. It's all our perception. So yeah, if you want to walk through, if you want to see how stress impacts every aspect of your life, so I've got a wild chart to walk through that'll show you that. And you want a starting point on how to start working through your stressors and create a different perception and create a different relationship, then you can visit stresslessco.com/handlestress. That's stresslessco.com/handlestress. And that is my free guide on how to handle stress like a pro. And you can take it from there.
Awesome. So we'll make sure that that goes in the show notes. And then you and I talked before about potentially doing something that builds on itself for like a 30-day kind of challenge.
Oh,
So
yes.
was that link still something that you were offering?
Absolutely. So we didn't dig too much into it today. Maybe we'll have to have another conversation. But to preface that challenge, the number one reason that people experience a rupture in connection in their relationships is actually because they're accidentally, one of their blocks, right, to tie it back to our conversation from earlier, is that they're accidentally, or maybe even consciously, infusing their relationship with negativity. And so, negativity being anything that could be experienced as a put down, it could be words, tone of voice, eye roll, anything that is experiences blame, shame, criticism, or judgment. And so this 30-day challenge is a 30-day path to zero negativity created by Safe Conversations to help you create healthier, more fulfilling relationships. Take negativity out of your relationships as much as possible so that you can create healthier, more fulfilling relationships that
awesome.
Cause so much stress. Yeah.
So that's a 30-day, a free gift. It's kind of like a 30-day challenge. And where do people pick that up?
Okay. So you can find that challenge at stresslessco.com/zero negativity.
Zero negativity. Okay. So I will make sure that's in the show notes too. So stresslessco.com/zero negativity. Zero negativity. Awesome. So we're all about giving gifts here. I mean, obviously, you've got the gift of fantastic information that's come today from Carly's experience, you know, creating this Stressless Co. For the benefit of every single one of us, because at some point, we're all going to go through stress. There is probably, well, I don't know if I know anybody that has a completely stress-free life. You know, the bigger the wallet, and the bigger the building, and the bigger the, you know, the business, you know, the bigger the issues that come along with it, right? It's like, you know, toddlers have challenges at this level, teenagers have bigger problems to bring you as a parent, right? So thank you very much for offering those gifts. I'm going to offer a couple of gifts as well. So if you haven't listened to the show before, you heard me talk a little bit earlier on about my book. So Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. You can actually pick up chapter 8 as a free gift. So chapter 8 is the one that talks about when no words are even required. So it's digging into things like that power pause that I mentioned earlier on. You can actually go to my website, YvonneSilver.com, YVONNE, silver with an ER on the end.com. And there's a tab that says free gift. And you can join the Women of Wisdom VIP community there and pick up that chapter 8. There's also a little bit of an excerpt at the beginning that tells a bit more about my story, just to put things in context. So that's a free gift. And then one other thing I think relates to this conversation about relationships is also on the homepage at YvonneSilver.com. There's actually a video of myself and a founder for a personality assessment that is all values based, that relates back to having better relationships with others by understanding more about how they like to communicate. And it's values based. It takes 90 seconds to get your own report on your own personality and communication style. And there's a link right on the homepage that says pick up your, you know, personality report. That's my gift. It's a $99 value of a gift. Literally takes 90 seconds to get 4 little personality cards, put them in order that sounds most like you to least like you based on the 12 values on each card. And it is so beneficial in terms of building relationships with others, because we actually then know how to approach that person based on the information that they want in the fashion that they want it, based on their values. Hugely popular. Check it out. You'll get your own report emailed for you. It's a 20-page report, hugely valuable to understand how you like to communicate, and more importantly, the other people in your life that also want information in a different way. So lots of free gifts today. So in summary, as we start to wrap this session up, if you could offer like one big wisdom nugget around this whole topic of having a stressless life, what's your big wisdom nugget to share?
You know, there's always a quote that I love to reference, and I hope that it lands for your listeners, but the quote goes as follows. The opposite of depression is hope. The opposite of depression is hope. Mm-hmm. And so if you're listening to this episode and you're feeling like you don't have the resources to handle whatever's in front of you, you feel like the world that you're carrying, the world that life is stressful, it's hard, know that there is hope.
Beautiful. Love that quote. And that's ultimately what the Words, Women, and Wisdom show is all about. It's interviewing phenomenal women who are engaged in doing really interesting, deep work based on their personal journey most of the time, that are now having risen from tragedy to triumph and now bringing their work forward to help as many other people as possible to make a difference, to make an impact. Love working with women. Overall, that's my passion, serving women entrepreneurs who are seeking to flourish, and especially those that are working on impact-based projects that make a difference, that really uplift the spirit of humanity. That's what I'm here to do. That's what this radio show is all about. So today we've been interviewing Carly Myers, Carleyi, and sharing more about the Stressless Co and how to diffuse stressful situations. I think you're going to want to listen to the replay. And if you didn't have your pen handy the first time, make sure that you take advantage of jotting down the websites for those free gifts. So we've already given out two tips from Carly, and then also two gifts from me as well. So we'll put those in the show notes. And I really have enjoyed this conversation, Carly. It's so much value, so much wisdom shared. And some of these things are so simple and really can make a difference right away. So thank you for bringing your wisdom and your insights. Yeah,
Yes, thank
wonderful.
you so much for having me.
You're welcome. So we're just going to run for the next 5 minutes. We're going to run a little audio video, which is actually talking about the reason behind why I launched my best-selling book, Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. So that'll wrap up the show, and make sure that you keep in touch with Carly. And the best way to do that, I would take the 30-day challenge, just saying, because this is one piece of information that you've got in our hour of conversation together. But by experiencing it and feeling into the shift that you get from having less stress and having more tools in your toolkit, I think will really deepen the experience and deepen the connection and the wisdom that you secure from this conversation. So again, thank you, Carly. Appreciate you bringing your tips and your free gifts. And listeners, make sure that you dial in for the next edition of the Words, Women, and Wisdom radio show. It's airing bi-weekly Tuesdays at noon Mountain Time on BBS Radio out of Dallas, Texas. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Carly. Have a
Thank
beautiful
you.
day, and bye for now.
Ladies, a new book is on the horizon. Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. This new book is for women ready to rediscover their inner confidence, take a stand for themselves in life and business by using more powerful language. Words are so powerful and already changed history. On October 5th, the New York Times published a story detailing decades of allegations of sexual harassment against film producer Harvey Weinstein. And numerous women in the entertainment industry found the courage to go public, banding together with a powerful voice that change is long overdue. Even Oprah Winfrey, television network icon, gave a rousing speech at the Golden Globe Awards in January. The media has showcased the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund. The Me Too movement is flourishing and all signaling it's time for women's equality and change. I believe it's time to give women the verbal agility to create more confident conversations. Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations is the book which provides practical approaches for women to ask for what we really want and receive our request.
Hello, I'm Yvonne Silver, certified executive coach and senior HR professional, seasoned in business. I teach women to flourish in business by using more confident language to help empower and engage others. This book is the result of over 35 years of my career, professional career, working in four different countries. I've interviewed over 6,000 people in my career for job interviews, executive coaching, for sales and consulting conversations. And I've listened to hundreds of women in particular who are looking for a better way to collaborate. They're looking to be asking for what they really want and heard and validated, especially in business. And women often earn less than men for doing exactly the same job. It's 2018. It's time for change.
The Modern Art of Confident Conversations explores words we use at home, at work, words that trip us up, elevate us and encourage us, and when no words are even required. It is about how to leverage the power of words in a positive, in a collaborative and impactful way. Now I work with women entrepreneurs and leaders who are empowering other women and leading through mentorship programs and my coaching, public speaking, interviews, and writing. I'm passionate about women's equality. Why? I grew up in England in a house with a flow of negative comments from my father, which destroyed my mum's dignity until she became an empty shell of the vibrant woman she'd once been, belittled by constant criticism and questioning of her abilities. Through my own life journey and supporting hundreds of female clients, I've discovered critical words to ask to get what we really want collaboratively. I know there are critical links between our language, our behavior, our mindset, and our success in life. Words from a song can replay in our head for hours, and poetry can bring a lump in our throats. I've combined my insights with interviews from influential women, sharing their pearls of wisdom, supplemented with research and reference studies from established scholars. Women are rising up. It's time for women to be heard. Let's use more powerful, positive language and join the rising tide of change. This book is for you, a woman looking to the future, ready to embrace significant positive changes in your life by using more confident language. Eliminate those words that drain your power, add words that energize and invigorate, and shift from ordinary to extraordinary. Just one word can change your life. I believe every woman needs their own copy of this powerful book. It's time for action and time for change. Order and reserve your own copy of Words, Women, and Wisdom today.